Picking up the vaccination pace. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
More than half of all adult Americans will have gotten at least one shot by April 29th.
White House COVID Task Force Coordinator Jeff Zients says that's because vaccine production's ramping up and more eligibility is opening up.
About half the states will have opened up eligibility to all adults by mid-April.
He's still urging everyone, though, to keep wearing masks and socially distance. Congress has extended the PPP small business loan program through the end of May, providing money that under certain conditions doesn't have to be paid back. But more scammers are trying to steal from the fund, and they've been busted. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has this live.
Dave, nearly 500 people have been arrested for alleged schemes targeting the Paycheck Protection Program, unemployment insurance, and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. The Justice Department says the cases involve efforts to defraud the government and unsuspecting individuals of around $570 million. In a statement, Acting Assistant Attorney General Nicholas McQuaid said, anyone thinking of using the global pandemic as an opportunity to scam and steal from hardworking Americans, my advice is simple. Don't. Dave.
Rachel, nearly 20 Republican senators who blame President Biden for a migrant surge have gone to the border to tour overcrowded facilities.
Despite President Biden's own Department of Homeland Security saying that the U.S. is on pace for the worst surge at the border in 20 years, President Biden says that it has nothing to do with his immigration policies and everything to do with his predecessor's immigration policies. And when pressed, if there was any chance that he would even consider reversing his policy of allowing all unaccompanied minors into the United States, listen to what President Biden said.
I'm not going to do it.
That's Fox's Kristen Fisher. A lot of tornado damage being cleaned up in parts of the South.
There were like rafters hanging down into the living room, and there were rafters hanging down from the other door into...
She's in Georgia. There were also a lot of damage and destruction in Alabama where 5 people were killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
It doesn't stay cool very long. Sunny and 71 today, but tomorrow breezy and warmer, 81. And by Sunday, temperatures in the upper 80s. As a business owner, time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. Post a sponsored job, and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Talk AM 560 KBLU, Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage. Good morning, Russ. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good. And we do have a guest in studio, Robert Wright, also with Academy Mortgage. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
A wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to go. Russ, you've had a good show. You always have way more to talk about than
It puts me in a great mood. It was a great start of the day.
you know.
A good mood.
Yeah, it does. It does. Even though I'm covering horrific things that I think are improper, I think it's good to get it out. I feel good about it.
It's good to have a discussion about
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. We need to be informed.
And I will say, you know, what I appreciate is I see you sometimes taking sides, but most of the time you're just, like, asking questions and prodding.
You're right. I definitely have an opinion.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't color your story.
But what I want is to get the other opinion.
Right.
I already know mine.
And I do wish we would have more discussions and let's have healthy conversations, not healthy threats. And
that seems to be the mood of the day.
Yes.
And that's why I'm always interested to speak with people like John Gizzi that's been in the news for decades, who's seen the changes, seen where we are, social media changes and all that. And I asked him, well, what's it going to look like in 5 years? You know.
What did he say? I didn't hear that part.
We're going to have more of alternatives. You know, that it's going to continue in that direction, like the Newsmaxes and those things are going to overtake it, as well as other forms, because the
probably need a few more channels and options.
The mainstream has been co-opted and is letting us down in that they're all talking from one set of talking points,
right?
And they don't deviate.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
It is interesting. So. Tons on our side to talk about, probably way less interesting than the stuff that you were talking about all morning. Did you know, I got a question for you. Do you ever read anything what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are doing?
I do not.
Okay, so you hear me talking about investment properties and moving up the food chain and things like that. Did you know Fannie and Freddie are trying to limit the amount of second homes and investment properties that they're dumping in their portfolio?
Why?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of answers, I think, to that. But when you see something become more expensive, you would assume somebody wants to eliminate that from their portfolio. So Fannie and Freddie just came out and said, okay, we're going to increase the amount of charges that we do to an investment property or to a second home. So you and I have talked about, we always say you need to put 20% down on a rental property, right?
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, Fannie and Freddie just put a rule out that said if you do 20% down on an investment property, you're going to pay them an amount of points higher than where it was. So if you put 20% down, you're going to pay 4 points. Now let that sink in, 4 points. Typically, some of the points are always soaked in the interest rate. So a lot of times consumers don't see the amount that's being charged by Fannie and Freddie. You, of all people, understand that we're still paying the Treasury through some of the costs that Fannie and Freddie are burdening to a homeowner.
Sure.
But to an investment property, did you know that you could actually put 15% down?
No. Okay.
But Fannie and Freddie are going to charge you 4.875 points when you do that. So you're going to pay almost 5% in fees to Fannie Freddie somehow if you put 15% down on a rental property. Now, if you actually read through what they said, the reason they're making it more costly is they want less than 7% of their portfolio to be second homes and investment properties.
Well, somehow, I'm sure they got some statisticians that are saying that those are higher risk.
Well, guaranteed they are.
Yeah.
If you look at what happened, you know, a dozen years ago when we had a market correction, what happened? You had, you know, and again, you had people who were earning consistent incomes, had no additional earning ability. I had teachers that were coming trying to buy rental properties with no money down. So no skin in the game. If something happens to you financially, what would happen? You let that one go.
Yeah.
So I understand why Fannie and Freddie are doing it. But what's interesting is they have telegraphed the cost, but when you read through the guidelines from them, if you put $100 million together, and again, for the consumer, how mortgages are sold is in $100 million tranches on Wall Street. You put $100 million together, under 7% has to be second homes and rental properties combined.
That sounds pretty thin to me.
That is very thin, because if you say out of 100 people buying, Russ, do you know anybody who's bought a rental property in the last 2 months?
I don't, because I mean, they probably have. I just don't know if they have or not, but
lots of people have, Robert, and you see people out of your customer base that I know of in this last month, how many were rental properties?
There was one that had a rental property as well.
One rental, and how many non-rentals?
Four.
Okay, so I know I'm not the best with math, but 1 out of 5 is 20%. So, Robert, your personal portfolio as a loan officer, 20% was rental properties, which means Fannie and Freddie would not buy Robert Wright's personal portfolio.
But that just means it goes to other sources.
No.
No.
Because think about it. Who's aggregating all of the conventional loans? They still have to go to Fannie Freddie at some point, other than when you see the Alt-A or, you know, you used to call it subprime or you used to call it non-Wall Street stuff. Fannie and Freddie still are going to aggregate it. So whether it's sold directly to Fannie Freddie or let's say you sell it to a middleman, a broker shop, the broker buys the paper, they still have to reinsure it and sell it to Fannie Freddie. Fannie and Freddie basically just said, as of April 1, any portfolio that is higher than 7% second home and investment property, they're not going to buy. So what happens? You're going to have companies make it even more costly because they want to slow down their own pipeline. So a couple of companies that I watch what they're doing online, they literally publish their guidelines. One company on Facebook, on social media, you can see their charges. 20% down, rental property, 7.5 points.
That's crazy.
Now, I just want everybody to think about how expensive that is. So you go buy a $200,000 rental property, 7% is $14,000.
Let me ask you another question. And you've been a big advocate for this. So let's say you live in a house for 5 years. You're ready to move up. You might turn that into a rental and just buy another one. Now, does that count as that portfolio?
That's perfect. That's wonderful because you just did your next purchase as an owner-occupied and you moved up the food chain.
Right.
You get to keep your old loan and your old interest rate on the rental property.
But even though that rental property is still in that portfolio.
It doesn't matter. That's already bought into the portfolio.
So they're only counting new business.
New business going in. Okay. So, Russ, if you or Robert wanted to go buy a rental property right now today, just assume you're going to see way more in charges. And the reason is it's not because the lender wants to make more money. It's when they go to sell that loan into Fannie Freddie portfolio, they're being charged a boatload, or they're trying to slow down their own portfolio. So that company that's going to charge 7.5 points, they were statistically 50-50, owner-occupied and rental property. They got a problem because here's the other thing. When do you lock an interest rate? How far in advance can you lock a rate?
We can only, the maximum is 60 days.
Okay, so you have somebody who gives you a contract and you lock their loan for 60 days. Well, ironically, then when do you deliver that loan to Fannie Freddie? The day you lock it?
No.
No. Is it the day you close the homeowner and give them the keys? No.
No.
Takes a couple weeks after that. So the companies that really just upped the charges, they know they're in trouble because they already have a mountain of volume that they still have to deliver. And it's not like Fannie and Freddie said, we will institute the charge at some point down the road. So they said, April 1, deliveries will be here, take it or leave it.
So they know that they just disrupted the entire industry.
They put a little monkey wrench into it if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing when you watch. Like, I watch your show, and I try to see what's going on in the news, and you try to figure out the whys. Why is Fannie and Freddie trying to slow down the number of vacation homes people will buy or the number of rental properties people will buy?
What have you come up with?
Well, the only thing I can see is if you look at nationwide, they're talking about housing shortage, that we're not building it fast enough, that, you know, you can't produce lumber fast enough and everything else.
Oh.
And so I think they're trying to slow down the speculation because people are buying as home prices are going up. But I don't know that it's the right mechanism to do that.
I have a question. Let's say that I wanted to buy rental property, but I don't want to pay the extra. Could I move into it and call it my first home? And if I do that, how long do I have to stay as a resident before I move out and call it a rental?
Well, by definition, when you come to me and say, I want to buy an owner-occupied property, when you sign all the agreements, you're saying you're going to be there a year. And if you come to me and say, hey, Derek, I want to buy this as my owner-occupied, and I'm going to move out in 2 months and turn it into a rental, and then I'm going to go buy something else. No, I'm not committing loan fraud because you clearly have the intent.
That would be loan fraud.
So that's complete
loan
fraud.
But not, okay.
I mean, if Fannie Freddie FHA VA audited that and the lender knew that your intent was to move in for a month or two and move out, that is 100% white-collar crime, that is loan fraud, defrauding the bank and the financial institution. But if you come to me and say, Derek, I want to learn how to be an investor. I'm going to buy a home and I'm going to live here for a few years, and then I'm going to move up the food chain, live there a few years. That's normal. What the industry is designed to do. And you're signing everything saying you're going to be there for 12 months or more, owner-occupied. You know what? We'll talk about this and way more hate and discontent after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Happy Friday, everyone. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark, and Robert Wright all coming to you here. Academy Mortgage, KBLU. It is 8:18 on a gorgeous Friday morning. Good sunrise, flag flying, couple cups of coffee. I think I'm like four cups of coffee in, so maybe
only
talk a little
bit. Four?
Only four.
I got up late.
Well, you didn't come over and have a cup of coffee with me. Robert did.
Yeah.
So why don't you come over and have a cup of coffee? You know, we could bring this equipment. We could have the show from the office, in the conference.
Oh, I'm in favor.
Okay. So, next Friday?
I'll have to talk to staff. It's fine with me. Let me check the station. Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about some of the changes, and what I enjoy about the industry is trying to keep up with the amount of changes that happen all the time. And whether it's just some of those fees, I mean, we talk about it, and it's almost like an emotional flash in the pan. Do you remember when the refinance craze happened and we talked about how Fannie and Freddie were going to add the half a point on a refinance? Well, it's always been there. I mean, it's not always been there, but it's been there since we started this thing, this conversation 4 months ago. Is it disrupted the industry? No. What is it? It's a money grab by Fannie and Freddie to add additional monies into the revenue stream and try to mitigate risk. I mean, all of it really is an actuarial accounting method somewhere saying this is more risky than this. So they've determined that an investment property is more risky than an owner-occupied. Well, no kidding. That's how the industry has always been, and there's always been additional charges.
But this additional is a big jump from where it's been.
Yeah, add 2 points. So what is the average sales price, Russ, in town right now, in your mind? You don't have to be right.
180.
Okay, so I know you're not good with math, Russ, but 180.
Okay, let's call it 200.
Okay. Okay. So 200 times 2, that's $4,000.
Yeah.
So, well played, Russ. Well played.
Ooh, man, I dodged a bullet.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say like 176, 400, and then make you do 2% of that. But that additional 4,000 is a cost, and for most people who are buying a rental property, they have the money.
Yeah.
So they're still going to buy the rental property because they still want it. Is it going to mitigate risk and slow down a portfolio? 100%. And that's the big thing that they're not telegraphing is all they're doing is they're going to slow down the amount of second homes and rental properties that go into Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and stack it with owner-occupied stuff. Now, that means the investors who have sold it, so in Robert's case, if that investment property was not already funded, it may have to sit on the company's line for another 30 or 60 days until they can sell it off. Now, if it takes them longer to sell that off, they don't have the warehouse capacity to sell something else. Or they have to worry about the servicing of the loan and setting up some way to collect the revenue, pay the tax, pay the insurance, etc. So there is going to be some interesting stuff happening in the marketplace. Most consumers will never see it.
No.
So, you know, in the end, if the market shifts dramatically, do we have the inventory to have a lot of investment properties sold?
No.
No. So here's the other thing they haven't said is, a buddy of mine went and sold a home behind Cibola here. You know where Cibola is.
Mm-hmm.
31 showings and appointments in a one-day window.
Not possible.
Possible. 100% possible.
31?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be bumping into each other.
They did. One agent was in the house with their client while there were two or three outside waiting.
Wow.
Now, what does that do to the purchase price of that home?
It's obviously supply-demand.
So
it goes up.
What I think they haven't telegraphed is Fannie and Freddie is trying to slow down the number of people who are buying rental properties so it doesn't compete with the owner-occupied stuff.
Okay.
So if Robert had saved up all of his pennies and nickels and dimes and was just ready to go buy a rental property, but he's not a seasoned investor with a lot of money, if you had just gotten to the point, Robert, and I'm going to ask you, you had just saved your 20% down and you and your wife had said, yes, we're going to do this, and then you came back and I said, you know, I'm really sorry. Fannie and Freddie have stacked on about 3% more, so that home's going to cost you $6,000 more out of pocket. Would that make or break your decision to potentially buy that rental property?
Yes, it would be a huge influence on whether or not it's going to make sense for me financially to move forward with that idea.
Okay, so you would run a cash-on-cash rate of return and see whether you're going to get a good, you know, investment out of it, but it might also be enough cash out of your pocket that you would just flat out say no. So I think Fannie and Freddie are trying to take some of those mom-and-pop investors out, and now you only have the owner-occupied people and the very seasoned investors competing for the house.
Yeah.
Now, in practice, does that really change anything? No, because if you got into a bidding war, Robert, are you going to go as high as a affluent seasoned investor who may not need to make as much cash on cash rate of return right now?
No.
So the people you're taking out aren't necessarily the ones that are going to drive the price the highest. It's the owner-occupied people who need a home, who have to overbid or have to take it, or the seasoned investor who doesn't even maybe need a loan. They don't need to compete with you. They're just going to stroke a check and pay cash for the thing. So whether it's 4 points or 7 points on that rental property, they don't care.
Yeah.
And that's the piece that, you know, again, I love the old saying, but I hate it, but it's the, hey, we're here from the government. We're here to help. You know, no amount of political or governmental help to try to change the market there is going to do anything, because there are investors in the marketplace who are literally going to come stroke a check and pay cash for it. Those are the ones that the owner-occupied people are bidding against.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robert, I got a question for you. Newer in the industry, what are some of the things that you've learned about that you maybe didn't know as a consumer before? I mean, what are some of the shocking things that you've seen?
I think the level of paperwork, as a consumer, you just bring your W-2s and your pay stubs and your bank statements and anything else that the loan officer is going to ask for. You bring those, here you go, and you go back to your normal job, and the loan officer here has to sort through everything and make sure that, you know, the amount of money coming in versus the amount of money going out, any other, you know, student loans or any other, you know, that may be put on hold. It just all the fine workings of after you come, present the paperwork, and we say, yep, we can get you approved for a loan, things are looking great, and then the work begins, and the clock is ticking. You have 60 days to make it happen, and it's really kind of an eye-opening experience.
So you're saying we're not paperless?
No.
And you're saying the amount of investigative work is much more detailed than what the consumers actually see?
Absolutely. The amount of work that a loan officer does to make sure that the loan is a saleable product after the deal is done and funded is actually much more than the average consumer thinks about. A lot of people come in and say, well, I make good money. I've been there for this long. How much house can I buy? Or how much do I qualify for? And it is so much more than that.
Now, what's interesting, but even he gets the question as a newer loan officer in the industry, you still get the question, how much can I qualify for?
Yeah.
No, it's not how much you can qualify for. It's how much can you afford? And it's so funny that we have literally taught consumers, this is the question you ask.
Does anyone come in and say, I got to keep my payment at $1,500 a month?
Very few do that.
That would make more sense.
It would.
You know your budget. You got a budget.
No. Most people don't know their budget. Most people don't have a budget. Most people have, and I say this with love and respect, and I want to help people come up with a budget, but most people have the dollars left in their bank account or no dollars left in the bank account at the end of the month. Robert, how many people have you met with that actually come in with a written budget or know their budget?
Very few, I would tell you. I don't know the exact number. And one of the questions that you ask all loan officers to ask, and I think it's a great question, is what would be your ideal payment? I mean, not everybody's going to know what their budget is, but they know what they currently pay in either rent or their current mortgage payment. And if it's a refinance, we're going to ask, okay, well, what would your desirable payment be? Or if you're looking for a new house, you know, what are you comfortable with? Most people have at least a reasonable understanding of what comfortable is.
Yeah. And I bought that car up front when I told him I'll take the car. This is my payment limit. If you can work it out to where it's under this amount.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sign the papers. That was it.
And that's what, as a consumer, that's pretty much all we've really taught anybody anymore is, hey, here's your payment, and this is what it is, which is great. But in the mortgage industry, for whatever reason, we've still taught consumers, how much can I afford?
Can I call?
And it's literally that old, hey, I caught a fish this big, because it's a bragging thing. It's, hey, I qualified for $300,000. How much did you qualify for? And Robbie goes, well, I qualified for $325,000, so Robbie must be better. But the consumer doesn't understand that's driven by the debt underneath. And, you know, one of the scary things for me is when you see people doing that. And, look, everybody lives the life they want, so I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. However, you see some of these people that are driving a brand-new Mustang or something else, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's their entire paycheck, you're not qualifying for anything. So let's talk about that and budgeting after the break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget.
Happy Friday, everyone. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager, Academy Mortgage, here with Russ Clark in studio, color commentary. Robert Wright, loan officer with Academy Mortgage. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So,
you're asking Robert hard questions now.
I was.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Well, you know,
sure you break
honestly,
him in right.
You know, honestly, what I love about our office is I ask everybody if they want to come on air with me.
And
it is intimidating. I mean, let's be honest. For a lot of people coming on air and saying, well, okay, you just don't care.
It's right. I've lost all consciousness.
Yeah,
I'm
kind of
like Joe Biden right now.
But you're a good moral dude.
That's right. I got that going on.
But, you know, again, so at least Robert said, hey, I'd love to go on air with you. And so,
yeah,
but I'm sure it is intimidating because you, okay to talk for an hour for crying out loud and then act like you know what you're doing.
But yeah, you don't have to take the show over. No one's going to say, okay, you got the next 5 minutes and make a speech. This is not going to happen.
Ready, set, go.
You're okay.
All right. I appreciate that because
you're fine.
You're in good. And in all fairness, this isn't the first time you've asked me to come to the show, Derek. And it has taken one or two. Hey, I got the radio today. Do you want to go? And I finally said, why not?
Let's go to you. Yeah, it's painless, though. They'll protect you.
Well, what are you not telling? I turned the lights off on him in the office and said, unlock the door, get out.
Exactly.
But again, tons of stuff to get done. And it's funny how fast things go. And I don't know if it's we're getting older, time flies, or if it's just things are coming at a rapid pace.
Yes, it is. It is exactly that.
And it's so interesting to me. So you just played a song, and for everybody who didn't pay attention, again, proud to be an American, we have our new flag coming in because we have been at the pace that we're replacing a flag about every 4 months.
Too much wind,
a lot of dirt and dust in the air, which happy to do. So I'm super excited that we'll get to change that today. But you think, man, it seems like it was just yesterday that we did that. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it was just yesterday that we did the flag retirement ceremony at our customer appreciation event, but we haven't been able to do that in over a year and a half because of COVID. And you think, my gosh, it's been a year and a half since we got everybody together. How fast is this world going? And then you say, Robert, you know, remember the old movie Fast and Furious? You know, you live your life a quarter mile at a time. In the mortgage industry, you live your life in how long of a cycle?
Every 2 months.
A 60-day cycle, and sometimes it's a 30-day cycle. And you think, okay, Robert, you've had customers that you were just starting that are literally already closed in that 60-day cycle, and they're already done, they're happy, they're in their home, and they're, see you later. It's just amazing how fast it goes.
Just eight radio shows for a cycle.
So you're going to come on the next seven, and we'll have this conversation about
sure.
A totally different Robert. He'll be like, man, you've changed.
I know.
The cycles are going too fast.
But it's how fast the industry changes is...
But you have to have seen... And Robert talked about how much paperwork is involved every page. Those pages keep getting added as they, you know, something else went wrong, so we're adding a page. Something else went wrong, we're adding a page. Well, this guy sued somebody, so we're adding a page.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that grow a lot in your short time.
One of my catchphrases, remember the woman who sued the fast food restaurant for the spilled
McDonald's?
Coffee? The hot cup of coffee.
$4 million.
So I use that as one of my speeches, that these are the $1 million hot cup of coffee pages, that these are literally here because somebody sued somewhere else. And with FHA, there's a page that says, you understand you're legally obligated to make your monthly payment.
Right, because somebody didn't understand.
Hello, that's what's called the note. The note says how much you pay monthly and what's going to be obligated back. Right. And you know that you have to, but now FHA has that page in because somebody sued somewhere and it just doesn't make any sense.
But none of them ever go away.
No, there's one in there that says, you understand if you miss a payment, we are going to report your delinquent payments to the credit bureau.
Separate page, separate signature.
Who didn't know that? Seriously, who didn't know that? But somebody somewhere as an attorney.
Some lawyer argued it.
So
your paperwork grows.
So when you say, when I started the business, the application for a customer was one page. And then they changed it to a four-page application that was technically three with a blank page behind it for notes. But it was a three-page application called the 1003 for 15 years.
Literally.
And this last 2 months ago, the institutions, as it were, got together, and now the 1003 is no longer called the 1003. It's called the IRLA, the Uniform Residential Loan Application. And it's funny, a lot of lenders are saying, oh, the sky is falling, oh my gosh, you know, let's cause hate and discontent. No, it's just more info. But if you, as somebody who is cynical with some of the political and governmental stuff, if I said you had a four-page application, how many pages do you think the new application is?
40.
Yeah, you're more cynical than I thought.
Yeah.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. 16.
That's still outrageous.
Four pages to now 16 pages.
But that's just the start of it. There's a lot more than that.
Well, that's just the application. That's not all of the $1 million hot cup of coffee pages.
Just the application.
That's the Russ, can I have your social? Can I have your birthday? Have you ever had a foreclosure? Have you ever had a student loan that went into default? Where do you work? How much do you make? Do you own it? You know, those kinds of questions that Robert is going to ask you as a loan officer now encompass 16 pages worth of data
just
and scripts and verbiages so you know what the questions relate to.
I'm going to assume that a lot of the other things that you have to fill out are duplications, but no one's going, but you still have to do it separately.
No.
You mean
there's duplicate entry in our business?
True.
Duplicate, absolutely.
But some lawyer decided that it needed to be said this way for this time, and we're going to duplicate it, but it's going to be a different phrase.
Yeah, it's over and over. There are three different pieces of paper that say the same thing for flood. So if you have a property that is not in a flood zone, you have to sign something three different ways that says, I understand my home is not in a flood zone, but I could have voluntary flood insurance.
But your responsibility is not to judge the process, but to make sure it's all done
so that it stays
legal and that the money comes through and all that, because it won't be if you don't follow all these.
We are in a zero defect industry.
Zero.
Zero.
You can't have a mistake.
If there's a mistake, it is the utmost cost. So, you know, if you go see a brain surgeon, you want that man or woman to be a zero-defect surgeon, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right. And you wouldn't think there's that level of specificity in our industry. You go to, say, you know, a pizza joint, and if they don't make your pizza right, they're going to make you a new one, and it's okay.
Well, and I won't mess it if they missed it by, you know, there's two pepperoni messing. I wouldn't notice.
But in our industry, if Robert misses a signature, if one piece of paper isn't in there, if we overlooked something and it wasn't addressed, that loan comes back, is now no longer insurable, could be what's called a scratch-and-dent sale. And typically to a lender, there's always a way to sell something. But, Russ, if you lent me $200,000 under the guise that it is a solid investment, and now it's not.
Right.
You want that sold somewhere else, and you want some money back.
I want it gone.
Okay. So the typical scratch and dent in our industry is between 25 and 30%.
Discount? Really?
Yep. So Robert funds a loan that's $200,000, and there's mistakes that are minor. It may be a 5 or 10% haircut, which means all profit to the loan is gone, and there's a huge penalty, and the company literally lost money by doing that loan. But let's say there's a material defect. That 25 or 30% haircut means on his average $200,000 loan, that's somewhere between 50 and 60 grand that is lost.
Right.
Now, there's investors and there's whole groups of investors
that buy them
because they know that certain things make it where it's not Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA insurable. But look, if you could get a 4% interest rate on a mortgage and it's secured by a house, and then get a 30% discount on that note, would that be a potentially good investment?
Yeah. I'm assuming there's a little bit more risk for some reason, but it may be just a minor paperwork error, not necessarily a bad loan.
So in our industry, you know, when Robert talked about having to scrutinize everything, customer gives him the bank statements, he reads through the bank statements. Most loan officers, and forgive me, a lot of loan officers, look at the bottom line balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, you got the money in there to close. We're good to go. No, Robert reads the whole bank statement. What are you looking for on the bank statement?
I'm looking for money in and money out over the entire span.
So money in that came all of a sudden and you don't know where it came from?
Well, things like, so if we're looking at your checking account, I want to know that Russ Clark works 40 hours a week. I should see at least two checks, or if you get paid weekly, four in, you know, sources of income.
Consistency.
And where's your money going? You know, or is it paying the car payment, the credit card, you know, water bill, those kinds of things. And we look at, again, not just how much money you have at the end of the month or how much money you had when the statement was printed, but the true pulse on your financial stability in regards to how much is coming in and how much is going out.
Yeah.
Now, but one level deeper, if there's weirdo cash deposits,
mm-hmm.
you now have to source them.
Correct.
And if we're using the money in that bank account to close on your transaction, but you didn't source where that cash came from. Now that down payment is not usable, but you funded the loan, but you funded it with money that was not actually proven to be the borrower's. Now that loan is unsaleable. Or just, and here's a couple of examples I see come up in the industry a lot because I'm keeping up with some of the papers. Undisclosed debt. So let's say you have a car payment that is on the bank statement, but it's not on the credit report. We have to prove whether that is their car payment or not. And that does happen a lot because let's say they've co-signed on a kid's auto loan. They're making the payment out of mom and dad's bank account. I've seen loans go to scratch and dent that are unsaleable because now you have to hit the parents with that debt. Their debt-to-income ratio exceeds the maximum, and even though they're not making the payment, the kiddo's paying it, we have to hit them with it. So we're going to hit that and more stories after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Friday, one more time. I don't understand how the show goes this fast, Russ. I really don't.
Because you're enjoying it.
I do enjoy it.
That's exactly
Robert,
it.
You had a good time so far.
Oh, yeah. This is excellent.
And that's why at the end of the day, you say, it's time to go home. What do you mean? It's like 6 o'clock, you know, already? I didn't get every, you know, I know that happens to you at work.
Well, Robert is a newer gentleman in the office. How early are we typically there?
You, me, and Ray are there at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay, 6:30. How late are we typically there?
6 to 7 every night.
You know, and 12, 13, 14 hour days, it's fun. It's enjoyable. Partly because you see the rewards that somebody gets. And in the end, you know, my background is food service. So I use, you know, analogies from food service a lot. You know, you feed somebody, you have a good conversation, they go away. But in the financial industry that we're in, you get to see people moving into their home. And there's a huge difference between renting an apartment and moving into your home. And, you know, Robert's got to say, you know, home is where your story begins. This is something that you're changing people's lives and you're starting a story. You know, you remember, like, Russ, I know you're old, but do you have any memories of being a kid in your own backyard?
Of course.
Okay. What's the best memory in your old backyard when you were like 6, 7?
Just pick up baseball in the back and the neighbors would come over and play stuff. That was in 6, 7, Cowboys and Indians back then.
Cowboys and Indians?
Yeah, we'd dress up.
Did you have a Red Ryder BB gun?
Yes. And they would actually sell headdresses like for Indians, you know, it wasn't racist. And we could do dress up, you know, as in you're Indian, I'm a cowboy. And the Indian was more fun because you could actually shoot the bow and arrow. Rubber tipped, but
at least you have the rubber tip one. You know, as sad as that is, I've got a good story and bad story. I mean, the old story about the Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah.
So my cousins, Blake and Kurt, up in Phoenix, they were probably 10 years older than I was, maybe 8 years older than I was. They literally would go shoot BB guns at each other, and they would have BB gun fight.
Never did that, but I've heard of.
Okay, and what's the old thing from the Christmas?
Lose an eye.
Shoot your eye out.
One cousin literally shot the other cousin's eye out.
How'd that work out?
He had a glass eye for the rest of his life.
Oh, my goodness. And probably some mad moms.
It was not a good scene at the cousin's house that day. But, you know, the memories, though, built around the home, and that's what I enjoy, that I don't care if it's a 12 or 14-hour day. You're building this. You're laughing, Robert. Why are you?
The memory of your cousin losing his eye.
It happened at home.
Oh, yeah. I bet the guns got put away.
Yeah, they did. And then those ding-dongs about 6 months later were out doing it again. I'm like, if you get shot again, you're kind of in trouble. You could even up the score. But, yeah, they did it again. And
I've had friends that have done that. Never got involved in those. Paintball guns later, yeah.
Paintball guns were a ton of fun.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that at the house because those things travel beyond your yard and then neighbors get kind of ticked off.
I think we had a few broken windows with baseballs.
Yeah.
You know, those things happened.
So
nobody knew who did it.
Again, stories at home. This is why I love the industry because you learn those.
Yeah.
I came home one day. My three boys were throwing a softball up on top of the second story roof,
mm-hmm.
and they'd throw it up, and then they let it come down, and they were just playing almost like three flies to themselves. You know, who could catch the ball? And I came home and they said, Dad, we need you to sit down for a second.
Uh-oh.
Well, they were throwing it up on top of the second story, but there was one of the bedrooms right there.
Mm-hmm.
So my youngest son didn't really have the arm to get it all the way up on top of the roof, but he did manage to get it all the way through the window.
Well, good arm. Well, that's a congratulatory thing.
So, you know, you see those stories, and I love to sit around, even if it's 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and you hear, you know, the customer, what are you going to do? What do you hope to have? And you hear the stories where they come back 5 or 6 years later, hey, we want to buy a bigger home, this is what we want to do, and you hear the stories of the previous home, and then whether they're going to turn it into a rental property or not. I think Robert and I sit in one of the greatest positions because you can help influence people financially. Now, you seem to enjoy the job. Do you enjoy influencing people financially, Robert?
Yes, it is. It's really beneficial to sit down and just start with the basics. You know, hey, let's start here. Let's focus on this goal. And when the customer reaches that goal, whether it is cleaning up their credit, improving their credit score so we can get them qualified for a loan, or getting them saving, and they've saved up enough to put money down on a house and they get their first house, or they are at the next level where they have a current home, they want to purchase a new one, keep the original as a rental, and just really move up to the next level. The ability to give them guidance and help them attain their own personal goals and be successful at it is very, very rewarding.
So here's what I like. Even the newer people in the office want to sit down, have conversations, learn about the goals, make decisions for the right way, not just a quick turn and you got to do something because it's the job. Because it's not about the job. It's about the customer who has those goals and where you want to get them. So if you have questions, you know, call the office. Talk to me, talk to Robert, talk to Ray, talk to anybody else in the building, Tara, Ray, Farrell, 247-9089. Have a conversation. And if you have questions, it's okay even if you don't know. Come in, have a conversation. If you have younger family that you want to push them towards home ownership, maybe you have 20-year-old kids in your house and you want to get them the heck out of your house. Have them call, have them sit down, have a conversation. And secondarily, I still think we've got about 6 months on this Great American Debt Restructure.
I don't think that long, but yeah.
Rates have started to move up. There's still a lot of people who have rates significantly higher than they are. But I think the window of opportunity to save a grip of money is closing. So would candidly say call and come in and let's have a review. And the worst thing you're going to say is, hey, you're in a great spot. Good job. You did it. And, you know, the best thing that might happen is you leave saving a couple $100 a month.
Mm-hmm. I know you you grow your business by reputation. Reputation means everything. And because you're to live in the community, you're going to be in the community, and you want success story after success story for word of mouth and all that kind of stuff. And that's unlike the other companies, internet companies or somebody that's in Oklahoma or whatever. They're looking for one thing, and they've got a sales quota.
Mm-hmm.
They look
for volume.
You've got a quota that goes beyond sales.
I hope so, and yeah. I hope that comes through, and I hope people feel it, because at the end of the day, this last month, two people were turned down by other lenders, crying in the office, we've got it fixed, and it's okay, but they just don't want to take the time to sit down with you. So yeah. if you need questions and you have questions and you want answers, come in, have a cup of coffee, let's have a good conversation. But from all of us at Academy Mortgage, we appreciate the community, we appreciate what you're doing. But there is one group of people, again, the active duty and former military men and women that allow us to sit on air and have these conversations with no fear of repercussions. You know, to all of you who have served and allow us to fly the flag and do the things and have the freedoms we do, man, if there is ever anything we can do for you all and for everybody who's listening who doesn't have a family tie in that way, just realize that even in our wonderful community here, there's people who are not in the States. There are people overseas, away from their family and friends and kids and loved ones. So if there's anything we can ever do for you, give us a holler. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.